Hey, Joseph, how you doing?
Very good. Hello, Senator Cruz. I'm sure you've been getting this question a lot lately, but how are you feeling today?
Here, hold on one second. Let me get to a place that's quieter. Feeling great. All right. Sorry about that. Was just making some coffee. But okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I guess to touch on the obvious here, you're at home. Are you eager to get out of your home and back to work?
I am. I'm feeling terrific, healthy and strong. I've been in self-quarantine now for over a week. The quarantine is ending today. And so I'm expecting to get on a plane and head back to DC tomorrow. The Senate is in session, and I'm looking forward to getting back to work in person. I've been working from home the past week and able to be very productive from home between telephone and internet and email, able to get quite a bit done. But obviously, as the Senate is debating measures to deal with this public health crisis, it is helpful to be in DC and be able to engage directly with your colleagues.
So, how effective has the federal government's response been so far, and what additional steps should be taken to address the coronavirus outbreak?
Well, as with any major crisis, there have been aspects of the government's response that have been very strong. There have been aspects of the government's response that have not been as strong. I think the most impactful decision the president made in this crisis was early on, when he made the decision to halt commercial air travel into and out of China, and simultaneously to require that Americans coming back from the affected region go through testing and quarantine. At the time he made that decision, that was a controversial decision. There were a number of Democrats who were criticizing him for making that decision, but it was the right thing to do. And a couple of weeks ago, I chaired a hearing in the Senate on the coronavirus and on its spread and how to stop it. And we heard witnesses from the CDC, from the Department of Transportation, and from Customs and Border Patrol. All three of the expert witnesses at that hearing testified that the president's actions stopping commercial air travel into and out of China played a major role stopping the spread of this virus, and that had he not done so, we would today be seeing many, many more people in America infected with the virus, and many more fatalities would have occurred already. And so that decision, I'm glad he made that. And in fact, 2 days after commercial air travel was halted, the president called me and asked me what I thought about the decision. And I told him then, I said, "Mr. President, you made exactly the right decision. I recognize this has significant economic repercussions. It's not an easy decision to make. But given the threat to health and safety, it was the right decision because this is protecting people's lives." So I think that was the most consequential decision, and it was made early on. If you look at areas where the federal government's response has not been as effective as it should be, I think the one that clearly there were problems is with the rollout of the testing kits. And I think the problem there was that the administration tried to keep all of the response within the federal government and within the CDC in particular. And unfortunately, one of the labs where they were developing the kits had an issue with contamination, and the initial kits were faulty, and that slowed down the rollout substantially. What we're doing now, and this has gotten much better now, is that the government has allowed private labs to bring their expertise to the problem. And so we've got major commercial private labs, we've got academic institutions, we have facilities like the Mayo Clinic that are designing and implementing tests. And as a consequence, by bringing in the private sector and empowering the many health professionals that we've got, not just within the federal government, we've been able to move substantially towards fixing that problem. They should have done that to begin with, but I'm glad we got to the right answer eventually.
Senator, just to clarify one thing, is the lack of access to testing the reason you've been quarantined over the last few weeks?
So it's not. What led to my being quarantined was two different individuals that I met in the course of my job and shook hands with, who subsequently tested positive for coronavirus. And I found out with respect to the first individual, 9 days after the fact is when I found out that he had tested positive for coronavirus. When that happened, I immediately got on the phone and I talked with physicians. I talked with the CDC, I talked with HHS, I talked with the Houston Health Department, and I talked with the Harris County Health Department. All of the physicians advised me that the odds were very low that I had contracted the virus for two different reasons. One, my interaction with the individual was very limited. It was just a brief handshake. And two, it had been 9 days since I'd interacted with him, and I was asymptomatic. I wasn't sick. I had no symptoms, no illness whatsoever. And in fact, they told me that given those two factors, that I did not meet the CDC's criteria for self-quarantine. Nonetheless, I decided out of an abundance of caution to self-quarantine myself anyway, because in the course of my job serving as a senator, I typically interact with hundreds of people every week, if not thousands of people every week, and I didn't think it was fair when there was a potential risk, a potential health risk, to make a decision that could jeopardize their health and safety. So I self-quarantined at that point for a full 14 days. While that self-quarantine was going on, I discovered there was another individual, an official in the Spanish government, who I had met with separately and had shaken his hand as well, who had tested positive for coronavirus. And so I extended the self-quarantine to today. But as I sit here today, I still have no symptoms. I'm strong and healthy. And so expect the quarantine to end later today.
Okay. Briefly, with the time we have, would you care to share some of the additional steps you'd like to see the government taking to address the outbreak?
Sure. I think the priority has to be health and safety, has to be keeping people safe from this global pandemic. In doing so, we should listen to the science. We should listen to the medical doctors and professionals. I have urged the administration to focus on four immediate steps. Number one, testing. We need to make testing more accurate and more widely available. And I've laid out a series of specific concrete steps the administration can take to ensure that happens. Number two, preventative equipment. We need to make sure that first responders and medical professionals and everyone who's on the front line dealing with those who may be affected have masks and gloves and all of the protective equipment that they need. Number three, the healthcare system. We need to create more capacity, and we need to ensure their critical resources, things like ventilators and ICU beds. If God forbid we go down the path of what other countries like Italy have faced, where they faced a shortage of critical medical equipment for those who are acutely ill, we want to be proactive preventing that situation now. And so I'm urging the administration to take steps to make sure we have that critical medical equipment and hospital capacity. And finally, fourth, we need to focus on cures. And I filed legislation to streamline the approval process at the FDA for pharmaceuticals and medical devices related to coronavirus so that we can accelerate developing a vaccine, so we can accelerate developing treatments for people who are ill with the disease, and so that we can ultimately develop a cure for COVID-19, the disease that comes from the coronavirus.
And you're probably aware, as part of an economic stimulus package, the White House is looking to spend about $50 billion to bail out major U.S. airlines, including Southwest and American Airlines, based here in Texas. As chair of the Senate Subcommittee on Aviation and Space, what's your position on the financial assistance?
Well, it's clear that the airlines are hurting economically and hurting mightily. In the past week, I've spoken with the CEOs of most of the major airlines, and each of them are losing billions of dollars each month. There has to be steps taken by Congress to address that. We obviously want to continue to have a vibrant commercial air industry. It employs hundreds of thousands of people in Texas and across the country, and global commerce depends upon having a vibrant commercial aviation sector. What the contours of the economic relief that Congress provides, what those contours are, is still being debated. So I'm going to wait to see the specific contours. I don't support bailouts. I don't like it when Washington picks winners and losers. So I've advocated that the economic relief we provide, it's clear there's going to be major stimulus and a major economic relief bill. I think it should be focused. It should be generally applicable. It should not be directed just to those industries who may have influence in Washington and may have effective lobbyists. It should be focused on the people who are hurting economically. It's not just airlines. It's also cruise lines and hotels and restaurants and bars and hardware stores and corner shops and all sorts of people whose jobs and economic incomes have been negatively impacted. We need to act to get through this disaster, get through this crisis. We should do it not like the Obama stimulus plan, which was filled with carve-outs for special interests and lobbyists. We should instead look to generally applicable policies that will help provide relief to the people who were hurt through no fault of their own.
And as you wrap up your last day of extended quarantine, what advice or message do you have for fellow Texans and maybe their family members who are dealing with isolation like you've been through, or just general challenges due to the outbreak?
Well, I will say there are an awful lot of folks right now who are at home and at home with their kids. Obviously, many schools have canceled their schools. And many parents are working from home. That's one of the pieces of advice. If you can stay home, if you can work from home, do it. I've been working from home for the past week and a half. My entire DC staff, I've sent home to work from home and telework. And with today's technology, many of us can work from home between a telephone and a computer with internet and email. You can do an awful lot. You can do video conference meetings. But it also is providing an opportunity. I think a lot of families are probably spending more family time now because they can't go out. It means you've got to instead go out in the backyard and throw a ball with your kids or play games in the living room. And I think that that can be a silver lining in an otherwise very challenging time, the opportunity for families to grow together. My youngest daughter just made a little store in the house yesterday where she's making jewelry out of beads, and she put up a price list. And so I bought a little keychain she had made, bought it for $1. But, those sorts of things, spending family time is a good thing, and working from home, you can be very productive at the same time.
That does sound like a silver lining that we all could be looking forward to. Senator Ted Cruz, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.